May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday was the last Sunday of the current church year. We celebrated Christ the King. In 3 days' time, the new church year will begin with Advent Sunday, bringing in a time of reflection and preparation for Christmas. The King we celebrated last Sunday as a risen Saviour, with all authority in heaven and earth, will be seen as a helpless baby in a manger. Between now and Christmas, many of us will go to carol services, or the traditional 9 lessons and carols. It's very likely that we will hear the passage from Isaiah 9 read out, which includes this in verse 6. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We believe that Jesus came and fulfilled this prophecy. If that is so, where do we go with Jesus' statement in today's Gospel? Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." How can Jesus be the Prince of Peace and then state that he did not come to bring peace? This saying of Jesus forms part of his instructions to his disciples before they go out to teach and heal. It would no doubt be a good thing for them to fully know what they are teaching to the people they meet. The expectation of the Messiah was that he would be a warrior king, like his ancestor David. He would come in power and overthrow the Romans and allow the Jews to rule themselves, instead of being subject to more powerful nations, as they had been for so many years. It's easy to understand these hopes when the words of Isaiah 9 verses 3 to 5 are considered. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. We don't tend to read these verses as we approach Christmas, but they were there for the Jews to see whenever they read of their messianic hope. Can you imagine how hope rose in them as they heard this stirring passage and looked forward to their Saviour coming? Jesus' disciples would have grown up with these words. It was the hope of every little Jewish boy that he would be the Messiah, that he would fulfill the hopes of his people for a great rescuing warrior king to be sent from God. It was very much like our children wanting to be famous football stars or pop stars. Perhaps a clue to what Jesus was actually promising is found in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus was giving a different kind of peace. It was not the peace such as the world looks for. Those in the world wanted peace between nations, imposed by force if necessary. That is still the case today, and yet look at all the conflicts there is in the world. People nowadays want peace in their personal lives, in the sense of being allowed to get on with things their own way. We hear people say, "Oh, leave me in peace." In other words, stop bothering me and let me do my own thing. Jesus really did come to bring peace. But first and foremost, it is a peace between people and God. His peace comes as each person gets a right relationship with God, starts going God's way in life, and stops fighting for their own way. That peace encompasses others too, allowing good relationships between people of goodwill. However, we can see from Christ's lifetime that he came into conflict with those who wanted to carry on as they were. The sword, he mentions, was in evidence throughout his ministry. There was a battle between Christ and Antichrist, between the forces of light and darkness. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, another passage read as we approach Christmas, this conflict is highlighted. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. If there was conflict for Jesus, the light of the world, there will be conflict for those of us who follow him. We are children of light, and Jesus expects us to be lights in the world. But the children of darkness will oppose us. Once we make a decision to follow Jesus, it can cause problems within our families. Our morals and purpose in life will be different from those of non-Christians. That will put a strain on relationships, with our loved ones not necessarily understanding that the commitment to Jesus is of higher priority than our commitment to them. As Jesus says, if we love family members more than we love him, we are not worthy of him. This is the cross we take up when we choose to follow him. We're not being asked to seek out conflict, but we are being warned that it will come to us. However, if we're prepared to lose our lives in Jesus' service, we will gain so much more. The peace that Jesus gives will be there deep within us, whatever rages around us. As Paul says to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's simply not possible to understand it unless you have experienced it. Like so much of Jesus' message, it turns things on their head. How can it be possible to have peace and be surrounded by conflict? Only Jesus' kind of peace can give that to us. As Isaiah 9 verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. At the moment, that increase is coming one soul at a time as we spread the good news. But one day, Christ will return to govern here on earth. We look forward to the day when the Lord himself will come down from heaven with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. Amen.